This is an address entitled Infinity and True Humanhood by William D. Kilpatrick, a teacher of Christian Science. This is his association address of 1937. We are all accustomed, in a more or less superficial way, to use the term infinite in connection with God and in our contemplation of Him. But I am sure we do not dwell to the full extent on the meaning of that term in connection with ourselves as reflections of God. Man, in the image and likeness of an infinite God, cannot be localized, as man consists of divine ideas, which in themselves express an infinite God. Therefore, man must be the reflection of the infinite nature of God, and could not possibly come under the mortal or carnal thought of localization, circumscription, or limitation. God is infinite spirit. That is, the infinity of spirit, spirit filling all space, precludes the possibility of matter anywhere in infinity. Infinity is the only here and now. In other words, there is no here and now in infinity. There is no place in infinity. Therefore, there is no space in infinity, and consequently, all that exists, exists in the infinite. And that means that all creation exists here and now in the consciousness of the ever-present. Because Jesus knew that there was no time or space or place in infinity, that there was naught but ever-presence, He was enabled instantaneously to transport the ship in which He and some of His disciples had embarked to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. If God is infinite spirit, then there is no localized or objectified materiality in existence. In the infinitude of spirit, there is no matter. Become clear in this. Become clear as to the infinite, and therefore the ever-present nature of spirit, to the complete exclusion of all materiality. Spirit, infinite spirit, God, has His reflection in ideas. These ideas must necessarily express the infinite nature of spirit. These ideas which express infinite spirit constitute man. Hence, man expresses infinite spirit and could no more be localized or circumscribed than the God which is expressed by those ideas which constitute man. God is infinite mind, and in the realm of infinite mind, there could not be minds many or wills many. The sense of infinitude as applied to mind completely dispels any thought of a multiplicity of minds in the realm of the real. There is but one consciousness, and that is the consciousness of God of His own ideas. Man's consciousness is the reflection of this one infinite mind. And as man is consciousness, and as the consciousness which constitutes man is constituted of ideas of the one infinite mind, man can be conscious of nothing but the infinite. He cannot know or sense any argument of localization or limitation or circumscription, as his being is the consciousness of ideas which reflect the one infinite mind. God is infinite truth. As God is infinite truth, there can be no place for finite or localized error. Error, to become manifested in human experience, has to have a place in which to manifest itself. It has to have a limit in which to deposit itself. It has to have a locality wherein to operate, and an object upon which it may be manifested. None of these things exist in the realm of infinite truth, where there is no place, no locality, no limit, and no object. Therefore, when you perceive God as infinite truth, without the possible presence of any of these finite qualities of thought, you then have all space filled with infinite truth, wherein is no error at all. And man, as the reflection of infinite truth, wherein there is no error, could not possibly be subject to any of the claims of localization, limitation, or objectification. If error has to have an object, a place and a locality on which and in which to operate, and man is the expression of that which knows no such thing as person, place, thing, limits, etc., then man cannot be the subject of localized, objectified, or personalized error. Man can be subject to naught that is not included in the divine mind. So, with man as the expression of infinite truth, and with the exclusion of all error from the realm of infinity, we find man utterly incapable of knowing or expressing error. If you will get clear as to the impossibility of man expressing or being conscious of anything but that which is included in the God consciousness, you will find the application of science in your treatments very much more effective. God is infinite life. In the realm of infinite life, there could be no death or death process. Man has no life of his own. Man is the expression of that life which is infinite. And as the sense of infinity brings out the sense of ever-presence, man cannot be subject to any finite sense of death or destruction. Life is expressed in infinitude, and the ideas of life and truth and love individually expressed constitute man. Therefore, the consciousness of any right idea in your and my thinking unites us with the infinite God in which there is no death. And therefore, every right thought which you and I entertain is eternal life with us, because a right thought or idea cannot be separated from the infinitude of the mind which creates it. And in the infinitude of life, there is no death. We must work under the constant conviction and assurance that our right thinking in any particular is a source of eternal life to us, and that each right thought and endeavor unites us to that infinity in which there is no localization or personalization. Man is not infinite. Man reflects infinity and is therefore individual. Individual man reflects the infinity of the one mind and life and truth and spirit. That mind in which there is not the confusion or arguments of mortality. That life which knows no death. That truth which knows no error. And that spirit which knows no matter. God is principle, and God is infinite. Therefore, principle is infinite. Principle is the only cause and creator. Principle is that from which all things originate. As a matter of fact, there is no origin in the sense of process. It might better be said that principle is the source from which all things come or are derived. Everything exists here and now in the realm of the infinite, complete, eternal, without beginning and without end. A good thought, which comes from or originates in divine principle, has always existed and will always exist. It never had a beginning, but existed in the divine mind as a part of that infinite, eternal mind. Its conscious reflection is man. Reflection might best be expressed as individual consciousness. The individual consciousness of an idea which expresses the infinite is man. Therefore, as God is principle and is infinite, there can be no conflicting creation or dual creation. And man, as the expression of the infinite, cannot be confused, disturbed, or distressed by the claims of a material creation or a substitute creation. God is soul. And God is infinite. Therefore, soul is infinite. Soul is the consciousness of its own existence to the complete exclusion of any other consciousness. The consciousness of soul annuls the belief of a confused or an adulterated consciousness. Soul is the consciousness of its own vast system of ideas. And therefore, soul governs these ideas in perfect harmony through its own all-knowing, all-wise, and all-seeing intelligence. From this sense of infinite soul, and man as the conscious, individual expression of ideas reflecting the infinity of soul, we gain the harmony of man. Man expresses the harmony of soul, God. And as soul is infinite, harmony is likewise infinite. Therefore, man is the conscious expression of ideas which express infinite soul, in which there is no inharmonious element. And so, he is the expression of infinite harmony. So every right idea which you and I entertain and express is bringing us into the realm of infinite harmony, wherein there is no confusion of thought or purpose, and wherein the one mind prevails. God is infinite love. Man is the reflection or expression of infinite love. as love is synonymous with the one mind, and as love and mind are infinite, and as there is no other than the one mind in the realm of the infinite, there could not possibly be room for the presence of hate. Hate could not originate in love. Hate, like all error, has to have an object. It has to have localities, persons, places, limits. And as none of these conditions exists in the realm of the infinite, man, as a reflection of infinite love, could not be conscious of, or the object of, localized hate, malice, jealousy, revenge, and the like. There is nothing in the realm of infinite love in which man lives that could be used as a channel or object upon which hate can operate. Every right thought which you and I entertain unites us with that infinity wherein there is no hate. And thus we are freeing ourselves from the arguments of malicious mental malpractice and all the beliefs of a mind which claims to be capable of hating. Now, in the realm of the infinite, there are no boundaries, no localities, no limits, no circumferences, no diameters, no distances, no measurements, no time, no space, and no place. And man is the consciousness of ideas which express the infinitude, in which none of these elements of limitation and circumscription exist. So the consciousness of individual man is no more subject to the attacks of the finite than is the mind or principle from which come these ideas which constitute man's consciousness. Therefore, if you become clear as to the infinite nature of God and man as his reflection, you can clearly see and claim with perfect assurance and certainty that man, and that is yourself, cannot be subject to localized, objectified, or personalized error. When you can clearly see how utterly impossible it is for man to become the object or subject of that which does not exist in infinity, then your treatment will be sure, positive, and final.